It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, you guys. Wow. So Christmas is over. That's phew. We are almost towards the end of 2020 and we're super excited. This is 902-1ONG and I'm Tori Spelling. I am here with my best friend, Jenny Garth, and our friend, Sissany. Hi,
Hello.
You guys.
Hi. Aww. Hi. Oh, happy almost New Year, you guys.
Oh, who's doggy?
That is Musso.
Musso? Oh.
Yeah. His best friend is Jenny's dog. His best friend, Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy's here asleep.
They haven't seen each other in a while. Yeah. And when they see each other, they sniff butts and lick wieners. It's super cute because I never do that to Jen when I see her.
Well, you did that one time.
One time.
Not my wiener.
One time.
But.
Not your wiener. But I was like, am I supposed to give you like a motorboat or something? Like, is that the equivalent of when the dogs smell each other's butts?
I don't know what a motorboat is, but I'm not sure that I really want to open that.
Like when you go to boobies and you go.
Oh.
How did you not know that?
I've never heard that. Am I alone? I guess I'm alone here. I'm the only one that's never
heard
of
a motorboat. It's something like girls would never want boys to do, but
yeah,
it's a thing. Yeah. It's like, ew. So gross.
So gross. Well, we are on episode 6 of Beverly Hills 90210, and this episode is called Higher Education, and it first aired on November 15th, 1990.
Oh, it was a good year.
Good year. Yeah.
We're like fine wines. We've aged.
Here's a little synopsis aged for all y'all. Brandon's favorite subject, American history, becomes an issue when he continuously gets C's and considers alternative study aids, much to Andrea's chagrin. Brenda finds herself drawn to the resident high school bad boy legend, Dylan McKay. Mm-hmm.
Do you say chagrins?
I said chagrin.
Chagrin? I've never heard that word.
Same.
I believe chagrin means like, you know, she's not that happy about it. In this context, Andrea was not very happy with Brandon not studying with her and going and quote unquote studying with Steve, which wasn't really studying.
Right.
That was cheating.
A lot of pool time. Okay. Let's do this.
Jump right into it.
Let's jump right into it. Okay.
Can I just say, well, you know, I like the fashion. So we get some Peach Pit love here. We see the outside of the Peach Pit, a lot of like inside of the Peach Pit. They didn't have Peach Pit uniforms yet.
Mm-hmm. No, they had the cute little white button downs with the rolled up sleeves. Well, Brandon had his sleeves rolled up, of course, because he didn't show off his like biceps.
Muscles, his little his dreamy muscles. Mm-hmm. But isn't that crazy? It was much more so like a 50s diner going mm-hmm. for that vibe and like old school, like Marty McFly, like.
Right.
Remember the diner in Back to the Future?
Yeah, definitely like that. Mm-hmm. This was, I was a little confused though, because in the very beginning of the episode, Brandon is walking and he calls Andrea, Andrea.
You caught that? I didn't catch it.
Yeah, he called her Andrea. And then in the next scene, he calls her Andrea. So I, as a viewer, I don't know who he's talking about. I think they're the same person.
That's a continuity issue if there ever was one.
It's true.
When did you guys film? I'm watching all these scenes on campus.
Every day of every month.
But
of
like,
every year.
Wasn't this an active
every
high school?
Hour.
Wasn't this
yes,
school?
Yes.
Yeah.
We shot at Torrance High School and the school was in session.
Really?
Just like a normal high school. And our like, you know, base camp was set up out front, like it was like a zoo. We were animals on display in a zoo. And we would come out and try to get like the scenes done between, you know, their class bells or whatever.
Oh,
but a lot of
they
times,
had a schedule and mm-hmm. if it overlapped and we heard the bell, we just had to like freeze.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they would all the kids would come out and stare at us and point and laugh and
that's
throw
so
things.
Crazy.
No, I'm just kidding.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
Well, I'm sure at first they were like, what is this show? Who what is, you know, they didn't know anything. And then obviously after they figured it out, They probably thought it was so cool that it was being filmed at their
high school.
I know.
I wonder if like they got cool because of it. People were like, whoa, that show's a hit and it's filmed at your high school. And at first they were like, ugh, go home. And then they were like, hey.
So they were never in the background. All the people you see in the scenes are extras or are actual actors or were some of those students?
No, those were all extras for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a lot of extras on those days. Thank God. And they were so rad. They you know, extras, that's a hard job to be an extra. And shows, movies couldn't do what they do without these super talented background actors because they bring the life to the whole scene. And I think that so many times they get overlooked. I think there should be a category for best background actor.
the Oscars or the Emmys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the boys loved the beautiful extras.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I guess it's like fresh new faces.
It was the 90s, you know? It was like.
What does it matter if it's the 90s or 2020?
Boy, okay, fine. I was being nice. Like, it wasn't. Yeah,
it's like six or seven episodes, and they were sick of us. So they
yeah,
were
it was fresh meat.
New meat.
They were sick of us.
Fresh meat.
But I feel would get jealous a little bit. It was like they were our territory. Like, yeah. If we could have peed on all the boys, we would have marked them. They were ours. I'm just saying.
I would not pee on any of them. I don't think peeing.
Like, speak for yourself.
Really?
Gross. Yeah. I would have marked them. Those boys were ours. Hands off.
Well, in this episode, this is the first episode that we see the whole Brenda Dillon.
I know.
Start to happen.
Well, it starts with the spark between Dillon and Kelly. You see that.
It was so telling of the future. I like blondes.
I know.
Well, don't give it away for people that are watching for the first time. What?
Yeah,
is
we
that a
did
spoiler
get
spoiler alert of a 30-year-old episode.
That's
what do
the
you
thing.
Mean?
That's the thing, Tori. We actually did get some DMs of listeners that are saying that we're spoiling some things in future episodes because they're watching for the first time.
But you're right, Sissany. It was first. It was that at the lockers. I remember that scene when Dillon says. Or no, the girls are like, which do you prefer? Really, really important question. Which do you prefer, blondes or brunettes? And he said he's always been a blonde guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says it right to Brenda's face.
I know. That was painful.
And for me, that triggered me. I don't know about you ladies, but like he was just fucking with her. Like right out of the gate, just like.
Well, I was
right
triggered for you because I was like, you are his.
Well, Brenda is his by the end of this episode, you really see that's kind of the direction that the show is going to get Brenda and Dillon together.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the feelings that she had with wanting to change her color is something that was just so relatable to a teenage girl. Yeah. And maybe
you
boys too,
but you don't have. You want the grass is always greener when you have blonde hair. You want brown hair. When you have straight hair, you want curly hair.
To this day, like you know, I'm in my 40s and I still go through like, oh, I just wish I had blue eyes. I've always had brown eyes. Like, do you know what I mean? It's that thing. There's certain things that you're just like, you know.
Yeah. We keep waiting for some magic surgery to change your eye color. It'll happen in our lifetime, ladies.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So Brenda. Goes and for some, this is a life lesson. People never ask your friend to dye your hair. Just
never.
Don't do it. No. It will always end badly. Unless they're like, you know, professional. But that was a big mistake.
I've let you do my hair.
How you so? Let me take your extensions out once.
You have taken my extensions
that's like a
out.
Chore.
It was an undertaking. She has taken out my extensions. She has put in new extensions. She has cut my hair.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever done my hair?
She has shaved my face. She has.
I don't think you've ever reciprocated.
You've tanned my body head to toe.
Wow.
With your gloves.
That's true friendship.
Have I cut your hair? No, but I want to cut those damn bangs. You know I want you back in bangs.
I think you need to bring them back for the podcast sake.
I'm going to. The bangs were
Can we just
on
get you
clip-on
ones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sell clip-on ones.
just yeah. so you could see just what it's like
for you. I'm gonna order some from the bangs.
Nothing would make me happier. Nothing.
Okay. They need to be thin and fluffy though, because that's
those bangs on this last episode were just like firing on all cylinders. They were like coming out with a trajectory that I mean, did they put like a soda can under there and then just blow dry?
How was it done? Just a round brush?
Like a round brush. But that was must have been the biggest round brush ever made, because
a lot of heat applied, like really got some like depth.
It was, I know. I was watching it with Fiona last night and she was like, wow, mom, those are some big bangs. And then she said, and those are some big teeth. And I thought you would appreciate that.
I knew she was my favorite of yours. I just knew it. Oh, from the mouths of babes and your
best
friend.
She didn't say big teeth. She said, "You, wow, mom, you have a lot of teeth." I said, I have the same number of teeth as everybody else.
Were you like, Tori, she talks about my teeth a lot?
No, I said she'll be happy.
Put those things away.
I'm going to get blinding you.
There's a moment when in the episode where Kelly and Dylan are coming down the stairs. We actually had Beverly email us and is asking if you remember, Jenny, what Luke said in your ear to make you giggle.
I mean.
Or was it just acting?
I can assure you it was inappropriate.
Oh, really? Would he say stuff like that? I love it.
I can assure you it was completely inappropriate.
Do you remember?
No, I don't remember all the inappropriate things he said to me.
Tori, can you speculate? What do you think?
Well, in like a whispery, like breathy, warm,
reenacted.
Right in your ear. He was probably like, and then said something inappropriate that made her blush and giggle and laugh and her heart pound. Yeah, he was really good at doing that. And he loved it. He would get her all riled up.
I love that.
like giggly.
You're giggly now. Look at her.
I know. Well, we should talk about the Brandon part. We should talk about Brandon and what's the teacher's name? Mr. Denzel
Dunbar? Washington.
I
know. Dunsman? I thought that was an interesting name. Denzel.
Mr. D.
Danzel.
Yeah.
Mr. G, okay.
Let's get into that in 1 second. We have to take a break.
Okay.
So now can we talk about Mr. D?
Now we can.
Okay, good. He was really cute. I have a thing for older guys, though. And he was
You do?
He was a... Adorable.
Says the woman married to a younger man,
like in real life, or your character?
In real life, no. I love the elders.
She. What are you talking about? You've only dated younger men.
Well, yeah, but not like to.
Oh, you mean just to like?
I appreciate. Friend, I love. Love. I want to squish them.
Oh, the hug she on. Does. Okay, I get that. I know what she means.
But he was a rough teacher. He was pretty.
I had ones like that strict. In school.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever cheat? Did you ever cheat on anything,
once.
Guys?
I did.
Once.
I hate to admit it, but I did.
There was a final and someone got the test and a bunch of us did it. And yeah, we had to go in and talk to them
caught?
Individually. Got caught.
Oh, busted. No.
And they were like, if you admit you did it, you're going to fail and have to do it over, but you won't get expelled from school. And... Mm. I think I was doing 90210 at the time, so I was barely there, and I just wanted to, like, graduate, and yeah, so that was rough. But it was really scary because someone promised us. It was like an old test. It was like an old test, and they were like, this is the new test, and because it was an old test and, like, six different people had the exact same answers, they were able to, like, call it back. It was so scary. Not worth it. Like, just not worth it.
That not takes years it. Off your life.
But you can really see how important their GPA was to these kids. Oh my gosh, they were so stressed out about their GPA, and like Andrea was so worried about her grades, and Brandon was so worried about his grades. I felt so stressed out for them.
Steve was so not worried about his grades, keeping in line with his character.
Steve.
He wasn't, but he was. He was pretty sure that he was going to go to USC. Had his whole life.
He has every confidence in himself in the world. Right,
because he just felt like what his parents would buy him into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because that's what happens, I guess, when you're...
You get a little glimpse into his
life. You get bought into college? I don't know. Does that happen? I've never heard a story about that.
We know how that turns out.
That's happened before.
Interesting.
But we get a little glimpse into Steve's character, I think, a little bit more. You find out he's like both his parents are divorced multiple times, and he was almost shocked that Brandon Walsh's parents were still together.
Yeah, he how crazy literally was laughs that? At them. He laughs at Brandon because he's like, are your parents still together? Like,
and then it was, what did he say? He was like, you'll be okay.
Yeah,
like,
hang in there.
He like reversed it on him, like, oh, comforting him. It's not the norm, but you're going to survive it. Like, it was just so mocking.
I mean, my parents were still together when my dad passed away. Your parents were still together, Tor.
Same, yeah. Both of our parents together. Sis, how about you? Lives.
Mine are still together.
Oh,
going on that. 50 years almost, I think. Oh. Like 46, 47 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much. I always wanted that to be the old couple that celebrates their like 75th anniversary together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be us. Yeah. That's going to be us.
Me and you. We'll just do it. Okay. Because, yeah.
They didn't speculate it had to be husband and wife.
It's just anniversary.
It could be your life wife.
Can you guys please have like a 75th anniversary party like that?
Oh my God. We're doing it. Yeah,
that is going to be a good night.
Do the toast where you crisscross your arms and drink the champagne.
Oh my gosh. And we're going to be like in rocking, like bedazzled rocking chairs. Yes. And
walkers, the whole nine yards.
Walkers. By the way, we're doing that. Just FYI.
I'm doing that, yeah.
So cute.
But I did laugh out loud when Steve called Mr. D the hemorrhoid. Made me laugh.
I feel like Donna was a little feisty towards Mr. D as well.
You were sassafras.
Like, and Donna's like the sweetest. Like, but she hadn't been defined yet. So she was just kind of like the like little like...
going along with it. Yeah.
Make a little comment.
You had a good line.
Nice tie.
You had a good line where you were like, I'm wearing both contacts on the same
eye.
Best so line. I didn't know when to bring this up, but it's literally one of my favorite lines of Donna's from all 10 years is, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I think I'm wearing both contacts in the same eye because it showed like she was so like giggly and kind of ditzy, I guess, and quirky. The funny thing is when we filmed it, I didn't wear contacts. I was, 17, I guess, when we did this one. And I was like, this is so weird. Does this ever happen? And no joke, this happened maybe 4 years ago. I was putting on my contacts and I was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh my God, I'm wearing the same contact. I'm wearing both contacts in the same eye. And I was like, life imitates
full
art.
Circle.
Donna Martin at her finest. It happened.
That was glorious. I felt like, since you said that was a really funny line, I feel like there was another couple of really good lines in this episode. That one was my favorite. There was another one Brenda said to Brandon, excuse me for living.
Yeah.
I love that.
Remember that was such a thing?
Yeah. Excuse me for breathing. Excuse me for living. The other one was when Dylan, I'm jumping ahead to the end of the episode, but like when Dylan, he comes up when he's on the motorcycle and he says, blonde, brunette, redheads, girls in tank tops.
Oh, yeah. You felt the tingliness through that scene.
Burn. Like smoldering, like, boy. Yeah. Smoldering.
He knew just what to say. Didn't
always did.
Right under the skin.
Him taking off his helmet in that scene is iconic. That's how I remember him. When I think of him in a stare, like that's it.
I'm picturing it right now. It's like ingrained in every female's brain.
And those wrinkles on his forehead. He had like those great lines across his forehead.
This and the one eye, like brow mm-hmm. going up. And
I mean,
scar,
is it strange I was attracted to him at like 8 years old? Like, is that
no, not at all
appropriate? Like,
that's
I don't
completely normal.
I had his
not
at all over my wall. Like,
oh no, I wish we had those now.
Oh, same.
In that same scene, Brenda says to him, "I like your butt."
No, she says, yeah, "I mean your bike."
I mean your bike. I like your butt.
He never had a butt.
Yeah, oh, good true. To know.
No butt.
Now I'm going to look for it.
No, but when she said that, Fiona was like, oh my God, Brenda, she never says the right things. Yes. Like she was so like, no, why'd you say that?
I love being able to cringe in an episode, like when I'm watching something and just like being able to feel the energy through the TV and just like, oh, like you're feeling embarrassed for them.
With them. Yes. Oh, I love that.
How do we get back onto Dylan again? We just keep jumping back to Brenda and Dylan.
It just happens.
I know.
I have more to say about Brandon, though, because I felt like Brandon was so hard on Andrea in this episode. He was so, like, borderline mean to her.
But everyone.
And Mr. D. 60. He. But that's sort of Brandon. Brandon's like the nice guy.
So like, why yeah, is he so angry?
He's intense. But this episode, he was actually angry at people, which is very uncharacteristic. Yeah,
again with the yelling in the library.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in that library, but I got to get to the bottom of it.
I think in your past life, you really wanted to be a librarian.
But apparently, because it really bothers me that they kept having fights in the library.
She's always like, shh.
I don't think I've ever been in a library.
The way he speaks to the kidding. Teacher, like he chews him out. Like, could you guys ever have chewed out a teacher that way? Like, there's ever. No way.
No.
But Brandon, I feel like that was uncharacteristic. I feel like they missed the mark. Sorry.
Yeah, he was written a little bit. Too angry, too like hot-headed. Mm-hmm. Because Brandon really wasn't hot-headed. Never. No.
No.
But maybe because we know what he is. We don't see it, but right now he's just being introduced as this character to the viewers. What, episode 6? So he
maybe
changed.
They were testing.
He obviously evolves, but
right,
maybe
but
they
you
were testing things out. But
yeah, you definitely see the like feel, right? Range of like when he is sweet and cute and then he gets so fiery and angry and then he gets guilty and then he is apologetic and then he kind of – you know, finds the meaning in it. And, mm-hmm. you know, he really did go through kind of an emotional journey in this episode, I felt like.
Yeah, I think he's like trying to find himself still. I guess all of you guys are, truly. But
who isn't?
Mm-hmm. I meant like in the episode.
yeah.
Mm. But touche.
And Andrea was just really, whew, she comes at you, man. I wouldn't want to piss off Andrea. Yeah.
She but not will like fire scary. Back. But not like scary.
No,
not
just
like mean
like
girl. Just like
real.
Intense and you're like.
And accurate. Like she's got a point.
Yeah.
I felt like Jim, the dad, Mr. Mm-hmm. Walsh there. Again, in a kind of a weird helicopter-y, like,
no.
Hey, Musso, zip it.
Musso! This is awesome.
Oh, my God. If you
missed
ever.
That. You missed
yeah,
that.
The screeching of Musso that goes on when, because we usually take our dogs with us to work, wherever we go, Buddy and Musso, so they can see each other. And Musso is notorious for yapping at anyone that comes around. He's like the guard dog. And she, like Tori, will just scream. Go ahead. Do it for all the listeners. Give him a Musso screech.
Well, first of all, it usually goes to, are you going to do anything? Like, are you going to say
no,
anything?
No, yeah, because you'll sit there and he'll just be yapping. And the guy, whoever he's barking at, will be like backed
like,
up against the wall. Yeah.
And then, Musso, Musso. And they're like, are you just going to sit there? You have to do something. Are you not going to do something? And then I'm like, Musso!
That was very enjoyable.
Yeah. Didn't that hurt like the core of your brain when you heard that? Sorry,
I could feel
guys.
That little ball in the back of your throat like rumbling.
He stopped. He's like.
Vibrato. Wait,
he remember listens to you. During BH 90210, he hated Brian Austin Green. Like, why did I just say Brian Austin Green?
He hated did. Brian. He hated
For the
him.
Listeners. Yeah.
Every time Brian would come around.
Remember? Every day he'd be like, it's me.
He every time Brian would be like, Brian would say, "It's me, Musso. You like me. Yeah, remember like yesterday when we did this?
You just saw me. We just went through this every day. It's me." But like he was kind of like kidding and like that dry sense of humor, but the same thing
every day.
And Musso, yeah. I literally at the end of the shoot, I think Musso was just f***ing with him. I think he was just like, "Oh, I know you, buddy, but mm-mm."
Good stuff.
Sorry, what were we even talking about before Musso rudely interrupted?
Just the anger between everyone kind of like being up in a tizzy with all the cheating.
No, we were talking about Jim.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to say something about not a helicopter. Yes.
Well, he was kind of like hovering about the grades and I felt pressure from him watching. Yeah. I felt like, oh, my, I'll never be able to live up to his standards. That probably was what Brandon felt like, that all that extra pressure. You guys have young kids, like your kids are still in elementary school, all of them, right?
I mean, diapers, so
yeah.
Not even school yet,
so you haven't gotten to that, but when they are in high school,
poop 101, yeah
when they are in high school, like things do have to start getting a little more serious if they want to go on to college and like whatever they want in their lives, and sometimes it's hard to like step back and let them handle it. But I think that Jim needed to step back. And Cindy was, you know, as always, the voice of reason right there to keep him in line while she's barbecuing the meat.
Another scene where she's barbecuing. I was like, this girl is amazing. Supermom.
She cooks all the time. I think that's all she did was garden and cook. Garden and cook.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would have their barbecues in the front yard. Or was that like...
That was a backyard.
Is a backyard? I would always see the car. Like, I was always confused.
Well, it was like on the side, There was like a cart port, and then that basketball cart where the boys always played basketball was attached to the little
garage. So was this house owned by you guys? Like, could you guys were always filming there or no? How did you do the scenes?
We just used it like one day, an episode in the beginning when we used the Walsh house a lot. We used it like when we'd shoot all the scenes.
That's so crazy.
That took place exterior of the Walsh house that day.
Oh, wait. So, wait, did you hear this news? So, in a previous episode, I think you said that now how they're just used to it and they welcome people.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
At the house. Pasadena, right?
But apparently they're still mad about it. They're still, like, annoyed that people come there.
They are.
Because our number one super fan, Darren Martin, who knows everything... 9021 bro knows everything about the show. He said last time they all went there when Brian was having his like podcast and they drove by, they were like, no, you can't come into, they couldn't come past the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they sold it to new people. Didn't I hear
he said no.
Darren say that? No, it was not new owners.
Oh, maybe. I might be speaking at
I kind of remember him saying something about it was new owners that weren't as excited about it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Yeah. I don't know.
So it was all just used for exterior. Any interior was in Van Nuys.
Correct. Mm-hmm. On stage, yeah.
My world's being crushed.
In the bubble Jenny refers to. The box we were locked in for 10 years.
Next to the porn.
Good old days.
Good times.
Oh my gosh.
We left when we would go to that location though and shoot. I loved going to that location in Altadena because it was like, it was beautiful. It was like you were kind of out of LA a little bit and it just felt
Remember
nice,
we would like sit on the front lawn in between takes and like just talk and oh my gosh, I'll never forget I don't even know why this is coming up, but I'm having like this vivid memory of we were filming at the Walsh house and we were sitting on the front lawn the day the OJ trial was announced, the verdict. And they had cameras in our faces and I just remember being like, don't show emotion. Like, I don't want to have a response at all. But like, I can remember us all just like sitting there and we were like watching this old TV and like seeing what was happening.
Wow. That's a good memory.
Crazy. I mean, I think we all remember where we were for that.
I don't.
Well, obviously you were there.
You were sitting right next to me.
Apparently I was on the Walsh lawn.
I don't know if we talked about this because we chatted a little bit before we started the podcast. Did we talk about Brenda's hair and the wig?
Wait, okay, we didn't.
I just said it, never let your friend do your hair. But yeah, that was a bad dye job.
But the frizziness was so accurate to what it would be like as a brunette. Because I tried dyeing my hair blonde when I was in high school. And I went the grocery store and I bought the blonde box because I was like, well, it's going to be blonde. And then it was like
the picture.
Bright
Remember
orange.
Remember Sunin, you guys? Sunin, it would turn your hair orange.
Yes. Exactly. Sis,
why did you want to be a blonde, though? I'm curious.
Feelings that Brenda was feeling. It was probably for a boy. It was probably
Dylan McKay's fault.
Yeah. You see a Kelly Taylor and you're just like, I want to look like her. So
that's so funny because I dyed my hair dark. As soon as the show wrapped, I colored my hair permanent color, super dark, like dark, darker than your hair.
And why? Just to escape?
Because I wanted to experience what it was like to not be a blonde. Like, really? I wanted to know the difference. There was a huge difference, let me tell you. But mm-hmm.
Oof. I went dark in the show.
In the show, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I regret that.
Oh, really? I didn't think it
I
was
just
bad.
Feel like Donna. Donna's like a blonde. Like, she was like...
You look so beautiful, though, as that when that red, dark red.
I loved that red.
I like it. It just didn't feel like Donna. I wish I hadn't married David. I wanted to remember Donna and David the way they met. And so but it was like at the time, I just remember I had a manager that was like, you know, to do things beyond 90210, you need to, you know, be the girl next door. You need not to be blonde and platinum. Like, you need brown hair and just to be taken seriously as an actress.
Did it work?
Well, that didn't work out. That's crazy.
I feel like that was a really bad wig, though, on Brenda. Poor thing.
It was really bad.
She
looked like a champ, though.
She did. Good sport on that one. Yeah. That was early in the series.
In front of Dylan, like,
oh. Well, we have some emails and some DMs from people, which I think we should get to. But let's take a break and we'll come right back.
Wait, are we going to do emails? No.
Yeah. We have a few, and I know that we've read one already, so I wanted to pick up this one
from
Karen.
But thank you guys for writing in. Like, we love this. Write in more. We want to hear what you think about it, bad or good. Mm-hmm, we want to hear questions you have for us, upcoming episodes. Like, let us know.
Yeah, that was, like, one that we got from Monica, where she was like, can you guys not spoil anything from future seasons, for example?
Good to know.
I cannot promise that.
But good to think of people that's so cool that people are jumping in watching it for the first time with us, just kind of like we are.
My husband is truly watching it for the first time.
He's still with you? Oh, I love it. Yes. Good job.
Okay, this one is from Karen. She says, how long did you have, there's a few questions, so we'll just break it up. How long did you have a script before shooting?
Good question, Karen. Very sensible question. I like it.
I know. I'm actually curious, too.
We would get the episode, we'd be shooting one episode and then we'd get the new episode sometimes as late as a day before we started shooting. Sometimes we'd get it 3 days before we start shooting.
True?
Yeah. I mean, there were times when we weren't getting scripts until the day of shooting, but that was later.
How do they expect you guys to memorize it?
Because don't you think there was a first draft that would come out, like a shooting script, and then it would change radically? Mm-hmm. I know what she means. Like, later seasons, sometimes things were rushed and there were notes. And
We never really got to look at the first drafts, though. The first drafts were kind of not for our eyes. Mm-hmm. And then they went through, and they would do revisions, what's called revisions, and every revision is a different color. So the script would come out on white paper, and then you would get your first revision, which was usually either pink or blue. That draft, you would add those pages to the white one. And then you would add the pink pages when those came out, because it kept going through changes.
Oh, yeah,
it was like the rainbow.
Do you see her OCD coming out? This is what's important to her.
I'm picturing her binder that she was talking about earlier.
She can't remember things that she filmed in a show, but she can remember the order of the color of the organization.
You gotta have the three ring binder. You gotta have the binder, and you gotta open it up.
I love you.
You gotta take out the white ones and put in the blue ones right in there. And then you close her back up until you get your new ones. It's so exciting.
I never did that. They just all sat in my room. Shocking, I know.
In the envelopes that they, you didn't even open them.
Yeah, never opened them. Piled up.
How did you learn your lines then?
How did I learn my lines?
Yeah. Like,
I have like a photographic memory, so I'm good at learning lines. Like, spending time on lines isn't good for me because I'll forget it by the time I get there. For me, it's easier to like look it up, pick it up, move on to the next scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Okay, her next question was, how hard is it to memorize a scene?
I was just saying this, like, I feel like because I've used my short-term memory so much, meaning that like instant recall, looking at something on paper one time, looking and picking it up and then going and reciting it in the scene. I've used my short-term memory so much that that kind of is, shadowed my long-term memories. Maybe that's part of
it. Is that your story and you're sticking to it?
I mean, it works.
Believable.
Yeah, that's crazy. We would literally like just like look at it, and we had the little sides because they would staple it together, all your scenes, and they call them sides, and they were little. Now,
why would they make them little? Like, why would they make this,
I don't know,
instead of full size pages like of a regular,
it doesn't make sense. Maybe script. You can carry around, put in your pocket on set. But now, like, we're old and we all have to have it printed out
full size,
huge,
big font, please.
And we all, like, on BH90210, it was a joke. I think we added it to a scene because we thought it was so funny that we all needed huge font. Printed out, and we all had to be handed reading
Nobody
glasses.
Nobody used the mini pages anymore.
That is hysterical.
Reading glasses.
That is hysterical.
Yeah,
oh
but
my
back
gosh.
Then we had all had perfect vision, and we
yeah,
didn't
and we like glance at it once and mm-hmm. be like, oh, a paragraph. Yeah, I have it memorized. Let's go.
Our next question was, who in particular would be more likely to forget their lines or always had bloopers or redos?
I feel like we all had our share, but I know I definitely forgot my lines a lot. There were times I remember it being in the middle of the scene and just flatlining, like completely losing track of what we were doing, where we were, what was supposed to be happening. And they would be like, oh, there she goes.
And like she would, and she'd like freeze and like purse her lips, look around. And she'd be like, I got nothing.
What?
Nope. Mm-mm. Nothing.
It's so funny.
But in general, I feel like everyone was pretty on it with their lines.
Yeah. I mean, because we didn't, it wasn't like I would go home and maybe peruse the next day's work before I would go to sleep or before I would leave work that day before. But it wasn't like I would go home and sit down and study and, you know, break it all down very often.
Was there room for improv, or did you guys really stick to the lines always?
We were pretty good about, they made us stick tight
really?
To that.
Yeah, at first. Dialogue.
Mm-hmm. At first, okay.
We could add in little inflections or little, like, you know, flavors here and there, but we definitely had to get their words across. Yeah. And I don't think it didn't even really enter our minds to want to improv or
that we could.
Know. Yeah, we just were like, must say the words as they're written, like robots.
I feel like the boys would put in little, like, they would do their handshakes and add, like, the equivalent of, like, what the new word, like, bro is.
Everything was mapped out for you guys from the lines to, like, the physical acting and all that as well?
No. I'm saying, like, the guys, like, any of the handshakes, like, the...
That was, like, the, whatever came naturally.
Like, their little, like, high fives that the boys did.
Or, like, their headbangs that they would do.
We did that, too. We like that. We brought our own flav to the...
They did all
to
of
our
that.
Stuff. We did, too, though. I feel like... The writers were so great about writing to all of our individual sort of voices because they really listened to the way we talked to each other. And they used
really
it so
listened.
Well.
Mm-hmm. It was really great to see that happen. We didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like you didn't know it was happening, but then all of a sudden, like, it Donna and Kelly turned into Tori and Jenny, but we didn't know. It was like they just did it. Like little, like, puppeteers behind the scenes, like Wizard of Oz, like all knowing.
Well, you're mic'd up. They were watching us,
right?
Ooh, listening all the time.
That's pretty cool. Like, it didn't occur to us at the time, like, oh, our characters are evolving more into us and becoming more of us. Like, we can look back now and see it, but at the time we didn't know. It was just like, felt right.
Maybe they had one specific person to eavesdrop on you guys at all time. That was their job.
Yeah,
the notes.
who is that person? Maybe it's maybe that was the same person that told Jessica Alba not to look us in the eyes. Who knows? We don't know. We will never know. Mm-hmm. But we will never let that go.
One more question from Karen. She really had a lot of them.
Whoa.
For wardrobe, did you choose your outfits or did someone select that for you? I feel like we've touched on this before, but.
Speaking of outfits, before we answer that, your little tummy, what was that? Was the cutest little shirt you were wearing in school, in the classroom. It barely went below your boobs mm-hmm. and your entire midriff was out. So tan and taut and cute.
Oh, she called me taut.
Taut.
Those were the days. Oh, didn't even appreciate it then.
I was like, oh, look at that. It's something to see. Oh, a little tum-tum.
Yeah. She was a good one.
Oh, my gosh.
She's been through a lot now.
She's still a good one. Another one of the fashion moments was like Steve, every scene he had a new ugly shirt on. He had so many shirt changes in this episode, and it was just like high-waisted jeans with a belt mm-hmm. and another big blousy ugly shirt.
Big blousy collared shirt. I feel like he like it was like almost Pirates of Penzance kind of ish, but like mixed with like what it was like. I don't know
what's happening. It was like bad Saved comedic. By the bell. Like it. You know, like when you think of like a comedy, a stand-up comic back yes! in the '90s. That's what he dressed like.
But that was the style back then.
But like apparently he like so here back to your question, like we did have say in it and more and mm-hmm. more as the show progressed. I think in the first, you know, the pilot, we let them do whatever they wanted. We didn't know. They were establishing Clearly. The look, not us. First episode as well. But as it started to progress, you know, they started to figure out our individual styles, what worked best on our bodies, what we liked. Mm-hmm. But we definitely could say like, no, that doesn't work for me. Like, it's not like you yeah. had to wear it. You would go.
Yeah, there was a big rack. Room. Uh-huh. Big room full of clothes.
Yeah.
And they would kind of separate it.
That means that Ian picked those shirts.
He gravitated right towards them. Yeah.
Would it be day of, or did you guys go a separate day and do wardrobe?
No, you had to do a fitting for every episode, and they were gruesome. They were like marathons sometimes because sometimes hours. We had a lot of changes in the next episode. And so while we're filming the episode before, we would have to go in and do your wardrobe fitting for the next episode.
Wow. Sometimes during your lunch hour, mm-hmm, after mm-hmm. work, like coming early. It was a lot.
It's always a lot. Wardrobe is a really tricky, challenging part of acting, I think, more so than people even think, because it takes a lot of energy and planning. And, you know, wardrobe stylists and coordinators, they have a lot of work to do. And then the actor comes in and is like, I don't like that. Ugh, yuck, that's yucky.
After they've done so much work. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was a lot of clothes we went through on that show, man.
A lot. Big, giant and you know room. What's so crazy is that the majority of it is back in style in 2020. Like, that's the crazy part.
I wish I could go into that room now. All those clothes.
It looks like H&M or Topshop right now. I mean, that's all the styles that are back.
So crazy.
Do you think they'll linger into 2021? Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, good question, sis. New Year's resolutions. It's happening. We're getting the hell out of 2020, people. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it. Woohoo!
I mean, that right there is like, I don't even think we need resolutions for the sake of just getting enough. Out of this year.
You know what? Crazy enough, 2020, I know, was horrific on so many levels for so many people. But there were moments of it that gave us pause to kind of go back to what was important, the simpler things in life. Like quarantine, as awful as it was, like, let us be with our family. Sometimes life moves really fast.
Yeah.
Who didn't Ferris Bueller say that? And you don't get that moment. For Jen and I, like, we started a lot of passion projects in 2020. We had time to kind of do that and really get our ducks lined up that 2021 is going to be really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like 2021, I mean, it's got to be better than 2020. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's starting off, you know, in the positive.
Yeah, I think we all have like a new mindset, like you said, Tori, because of what we went through this year. And I know what's like more important versus like I was just going 100 miles per hour too before we all paused.
Right.
So,
and it really doesn't, it's like a lesson in like, you don't, it doesn't matter what your resolution is because 2021 is going to be whatever it's going to be.
Right?
Yeah. You got no control.
Yeah. Remember like every year you'd be like, this is going to be the best year.
Best year.
Like, I feel like none of us are saying that anymore because of what happened. We were like, we had no idea. Yeah. You know, we rang it in. We're like, 2020, woo, it's going to be the best year. And then everyone's like, whoa. So now we're just like.
It's just like. Just take it as it comes and like go with the flow. Be in the moment. Be with your loved ones. Focus on the things that are important and good for you and keep you safe. And just go with it. See what happens. That's my resolution.
Love that.
I like that.
Well, ladies, I think it's time to wrap it up until 2021.
No. Oh my gosh. Wait, this is it? This is it?
Yeah, this is our last episode of this year. Homework assignment will be to watch episode 7. Obviously.
Episode 7 coming up next week. Everybody do your homework.
Oh my gosh. So by 2020.
Yeah, I always love it at the end of a year when you're done working or seeing people and you can say, okay, see you next year.
Me too.
So but it's corny, really like in a week.
Oh my God. And this was like one of those years you're like, I hope I see you next year. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But we're there. We're going to get through it. It's going to happen. Be there. So we will definitely see you next year. Be safe.
See you next year.
OMG.